Hi, I'm Ray Poynter, and this is Talking AI. And I'm delighted today to introduce Carleen Kreigler, who is the founder, co-founder of Hello Ara. So, hi, Carleen.
Hi, Ray. It's always a privilege and an honor to speak to you, so thank you.
And an honor and privilege to speak to you too, Carleen. So, perhaps you could give us a little bit of background to yourself and to Hello Ara.
Okay, I'll start with myself. I think I grew up in a house where creativity and innovation was maybe nurtured. My parents also took great pride in making sure we got the best education possible, something that they not, didn't necessarily entirely have the opportunity to study exactly what they wanted to. So I think they made sure that we had the ability to choose careers that we could be really passionate about. Also, growing up, I was surrounded by people who would be creative in different ways. My grandmother, for example, had, we counted at one stage, she had 37 different crafts that she was doing, from woodworking to cake decorating to all sorts of things. And I think one of my favorite stories about her, just to show like her mindset, was when the internet just arrived, she phoned me one day and said, I know you use the internet. I think I was in university. I don't know what to do with this specific vegetable. Can you please look it up for me? So I think like I came from an environment where I was encouraged to, innovate and try different things. So that's maybe a bit about my background. I plan to study and work in the food industry in innovation. But when I was at university, I discovered sensory science and then market research. And I had a fantastic professor who gave me just one module of market research, and I was completely inspired. So I'm not one of those people who fell into market research. I actually discovered it. And I was just immediately passionate about people and understanding them and finding out more.
And before we go on to the Hello Ara, people may have picked it up from the accent, but where are you based?
I'm in Cape Town, South Africa. I studied at the University of Stellenbosch. I've only ever lived here, so I love traveling and I've been in lots of places in the world, but Cape Town is my home.
Excellent.
It's a wonderful place. I don't know if you've been here before, eh?
Not yet. I'm hoping
Good.
to come and run the marathon, the Comrades Marathon next year. So
That's a
that'd be
great
of
idea. Oh,
interest coming
wow.
to
Okay.
South Africa.
That's a great idea. Okay. Yeah. So I then in my career, I was clear I wanted to do market research, and I started at a wonderful company called Research International many years ago. And it was really a fantastic place that taught me to challenge and learn. And we were really encouraged to have access to global leaders of the best thinking. So I think I had a wonderful foundation in market research. So I worked for a large research group then for most of my career. And I felt like I loved the challenge, of working with lots of different categories and lots of different people and learning about new methods. But I always knew, the innovative side of things is what really sparks me, trying to push new methodologies, new ways of thinking. I mean, we've all been around when there was still, well, not we've all, you and I were around when there was paper, questionnaires and interviewers that needed to be managed and all of that. So it's been wonderful to see the transitions and the opportunity over time. I think the pivotal point for me for encouraging us to start Hello Ara was I've reached a point in my career where I was only ever called in to look at research when there was a problem, so my role was far more about, maybe inspiring people or, rolling out programs, et cetera, as it does when you work in larger companies. And the other part was, so when you are called in and you sit in a boardroom and everybody's looking at a tracker presentation and wondering, why is this line going up and that one going down? Let's spend the next hour figuring that out. And I couldn't imagine that there can't be a better way to understand people than to just look at that tracker data and wonder why the line's going up or down. I think it's an age-old problem. We've all had that problem, right? Imagining why it's different. So I met my co-founder, David, And we've worked together on a couple of projects, and we just somehow really got along, and we're very like-minded in our thinking around innovation. And his background is far more technology, AI, innovation. He's worked at telecom companies and startups, and he's lived in many parts of the world. So he really brings the more technical AI side, and I'm the researcher, and love working with clients. And together, then I think it's a powerful combination when you have somebody who is expert at the technical side of the things already. And so I learn a lot from him all the time. And I think together we're gathering a team of people who are lots of different ways of thinkers. So it's quite exciting to be able to create. I think that's the wonder of having of starting a business. I mean, it's obviously not easy, but the ability to create and to imagine is really exciting.
Super. So, can you sort of tell us a bit about the sorts of projects that HelloAra is mostly focused on and the sorts of technologies you apply to those problems?
Okay. I mean, initially we started with conversational AI, because I think both of us were quite passionate about the power of unstructured data and what you can do with it. Because really, if you think about unstructured data, whether that's conversational or visual data or whatever the source is, it has layers, right? That a scaled question does not have. And we don't ditch scales. We still use scales in our work, but a series of scales is not the only way to solve problems. And I think it's astounding how many of those types of projects are still out there. The projects which only rely on loads of scales, maybe one open-ended question. So we don't do that kind of work. But I think if I think about our clients, I think once clients see the power of using different types of data and maybe unstructured data, they're quite hooked, because I think there's so many dimensions to it that gives you a lot more than just, the closed data. So a typical project is actually not a typical project. So we don't really work with only cookie cutter. We just have these methods for certain everyday things like testing an ad or, having a deep exploration of a topic that a client is uncertain about. Of course, there's frameworks we work with, etc. But I find that we do more and more work which actually has multiple components. So I would say the typical HelloAra client is one that is curious and inspired to do things differently, maybe tired of the age-old way of doing things. Sometimes they want things faster, often they want things better. There's no typical project, but I guess to give a better answer, we still do standard things like a segmentation, but we will always rethink how can we do this? Which dimensions do you really need to close off and which can you open? How can you deliver the project in a way where you're using AI to really bring the analysis to life, find deeper levels of understanding, make the output much better and easier to digest? As you know, we also use gaming environments to do qual in, and it's another area that we are really passionate about. The power of allowing people to feel comfortable as a first point, not having to look at a stranger and feeling judged, because we all judge and we all feel judged. The power of creating like a world where everybody sees the same thing. I mean, the opportunities to be creative is absolutely endless. So there's all sorts of projects we can do in a space like that. But I think what maybe excites me the most is where we can actually combine lots of different elements. So we will often, in South Africa, if you do work in South Africa or Africa, and we work across the world, but you always need to think, where am I and what is appropriate? So not everybody has a fast Wi-Fi connection. So if you do work in Africa, you need to allow that consideration. You might need a component of your sample to be more rural. And I think in many markets of the world, that is actually a reality. It's not just in Africa. So then you need to think, okay, how can I combine maybe an AI-driven interview for one part of the sample with an enome visit where we have cake and tea, for example, with the participants and learn. So I find it really exciting that we can also think through, it's not just a cookie cutter and it doesn't need to be complicated, but we have to be practical and say, how do we get the best from these people? How do we understand them best? I've
So
said a lot, Ray. I don't
that's
know if I've
fine. No,
answered the
that's good.
question.
That's what we want to hear. So, AI has changed a lot over the last 5 years. So, how has the changing nature of AI influenced the products you use, the services you provide, the way that you get your insights?
So 5 years ago, as you know, it was a lot more difficult using AI, right? The AI needed a lot of help and checking. Obviously now it is much easier. Like the options are endless. The APIs are much better. The tools that are not API based, but that you can chat to is a lot better. So it certainly influenced us to use a lot more AI, in many different steps of the research processes. 5 years ago, we used the AI, but yes, it needed to be checked, right? And it needed a lot of manual setup and training, etc. So sometimes, if you do a certain step in a project, it almost feels like maybe this is too easy. Is this cheating if it's, if it's this easy versus how it used to be? But having said that, we know that we are still an integral part of the process. So we do, we are involved and we see what we do as a craft. We are certainly very involved in the processes and the steps, and especially in custom work. But it's also wonderful to see larger projects, like if we work with clients to maybe help them get the best out of their customer experience data, where in the past you needed like a lot more intervention and checking. Now, once you've set it up properly, you can actually see how it's running and how powerful it is, and seamless and fast. So certainly a lot of things are much easier, and there's a lot more opportunity for creativity, I think, which is the part that gets me excited.
So actually, just let's dive into that a bit. How is AI empowering the craft of research?
Oh, that's like an endless question, isn't it? I think that maybe it's also like where you start as a point of view. I mean, if you're a company that's still going to do a traditional survey as the answer to your question in a Zoom focus group, and you're going to analyze it as is, I think you can still get away with it for a while. But I think AI is obviously making certain steps of the process much more affordable. So there's certain things that AI can just do much faster and better. Then I think in terms of, and I'm just talking about the task of a researcher, but obviously, Ray, you're building all sorts of tools in the background. So my co-founder is the builder, and the imaginer of the tools that enable different things. I feel like it's a very wide topic because there's so many different types of research. For me, it certainly also enables creative methodologies. My co-founder the other day, David Wright, over the weekend, he had an idea for a tool that we are using within qualitative groups to help participants co-create better. It's a completely AI-based tool that creates visuals and involves things like storytelling, etc. And we're using this as a tool to get more from participants. So it's a co-creation tool. So something like that, he imagined and built over the weekend for us to use in a group that week. So I think that's a good example of how we're adding to the craft. We're getting more from people by helping them, almost sort of like enabling them to be more creative. If we are just talking to each other without a shared visual, or we're speaking completely hypothetically, we don't know each other. It's quite difficult to actually be on the same page as somebody and create. So, that's an example. I
Yeah.
mean, we can spend 6 hours talking about this topic.
Super. So you're headquartered in South Africa. How has that influenced the development of Hello, do you think?
I mean, I think I've only ever lived here, so I can only answer for myself. I think in South Africa we're actually a relatively small country. We're often well known for some of the terrible part of history. But South Africa is a country with incredible people who have this like can-do attitude. And I'm not saying this about myself. I'm talking about my team members. We're also a country with a lot of challenges. We have huge employment crises. The other day we advertised for a new role for a colleague to start pretty soon. And I think the ad was open for 2 months. We got 30 applications, and we could have hired almost any one of them, or the people that applied. So I think if you work in a country where there is often a lot of need and a lot of hungry bright minds, it's of inspiration, I think. And I think the way that we think is to make things work, to make things happen, to be agile about things. So I think that's obviously David is a New Zealander and he lives in London, so he brings that global perspective. But I think being in South Africa means definitely our mindset of making things happen and trying things out, being experimental and innovative. Has certainly influenced our business. But obviously also if you work in a country in the southernmost tip of Africa, you need to make a lot of noise to be heard, right? So we're very grateful for the help and the power of LinkedIn and connections to help move us along.
Yes, I always sort of smile because in the rest of the world, we treat Belgium as a slightly tricky market. It has two main languages. We treat Canada as a slightly tricky market. It's got two main languages. And in Africa, and even just within South Africa, you've got so many languages and differences to work with. It is
11
fantastic.
national ones. Yeah, no, certainly it makes one practical as well. And it also means, like, I think researchers here are very well trained to think through the implication. It's not just here's the thing, here's the survey, push it. You need to think, is the education level of the person who's going to answer it up to all the things that you're saying? What's the cognitive load? And I say that with respect because that's the reality. Is somebody going to have data to actually answer the survey? You're going to find people that you're looking for where you need to. And I think the African market research landscape is full of very creative people who has learned to, so you would often need to do 10 markets in Africa that involves languages and some areas have data, some doesn't. How with that? So I think it makes for resilience and agility, also the skill to really think through things and say, does this make sense? Are we getting the best from people? Because that's another passion of mine, that we actually, when we're collecting data, we are actually dealing with people who deserves our respect and consideration.
Absolutely. So we're pretty much running into the time buffers, but what are you looking forward to over the next year, particularly in the context of AI? What do you think might change or might be exciting or fun?
I mean, I think the fun part's important to me. But I mean, the exciting part is just to see how much better the AI models are getting and so fast. And I feel like there's not enough time in the day to apply and do all the things that we could possibly. I don't know where you find the time, right? Every time I read one of your posts, I'm like, my goodness, when did you have a time to figure this out? Because if you're in the business of building a business and you're in the business of innovating and meeting the needs of your clients, it feels like there's not always enough time to experiment with everything. But I mean, I think all of us can do more with AI and find better application for our businesses. The part that really interests me, and I know it's not a popular opinion, but we do a lot of work in the gaming environments and the metaverse type environments, and metaverse feels like a swear word, but I'm excited where AI is going to the. I think there's already a lot of advancement in terms of the visual side of AI, but when you combine the intelligence and the visual experiences, I'm quite excited in terms of what can happen there, because humans are visual beings. So that part excites me, when the experiences we have in terms of what we see and how we imagine life collides with AI. That's the part that really interests me.
Super. Thank you so much for your time, Carlene. I think people find that really interesting.
I hope so. Thank you very much for your time, Ray. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.